Welcome back to Weekly Winners. This is episode 6. I am Jer, here with my good friend Cody. Sorry we didn't have our episode come out on Monday. Both of us kind of had life stuff going on. It was a very busy weekend for the both of us. But we're coming back to you. We're going to cover everything we missed last week. And rolling into that, the MLB trade deadline, we gave you the preview for it on last Thursday's episode, but let's kind of recap what we thought versus what actually happened there.
Yeah, I guess my first takeaway was I didn't think the Cubs would be able to deal Rizzo or Javi. Javi going to the Mets and Rizzo going to the Yankees. I just didn't think they had the trade value that the Cubs were hoping they'd have. But, I mean, they ended up getting some prospects and some draft picks out of them. But, I mean, they ended up getting something. But probably the biggest trade was Scherzer going to the Dodgers, in my opinion. I mean, the Dodgers now got to be a heavy favorite to win it all, run it back to back.
It didn't even look like they were going to get him.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they pull some backdoor stuff and so it's like, wait, bring it back. He is going to the Dodgers.
Yeah. I mean, so an obviously dominant team just gets more dominant. Kind of hard in a sport like baseball where you got to field 9 guys to have a super team, but it's pretty much what the Dodgers have done here.
Yeah, I was going to ask back to the Cubs for a second. Obviously, Chicago fans right now are very heartbroken. They lose their core 4 guys. All of them seem to homer in their first game with their new team. But do you like what they got back for their guys? Because, yeah, it can hurt, and you can go and be like, oh, my gosh, look what Javi's doing. Look what Rizzo's doing. Bryant's 29. How could we not keep him around? But the fact of the matter was that team was still not winning. So it was probably the right move to blow it up, but did they get the right prices to bring that kind of heartbreak to their fan base?
I think yes. So baseball, I guess, is a lot different when it comes to trading than other sports because you do have the farm system. And if I'm a fan, like let's say the Brewers are just, you know, let's say they're not winning. We have 4 guys. We can go out and just get a ton of prospects and draft picks for. I'm a fan if they do that because, you know, when it comes down to it, the Cubs were not going to compete with the Dodgers, the Giants, you know.
They weren't even going to. They weren't they probably with the Brewers this year. They're just too far right back.
And you know, at some point you have to look back and be like, all right, we have guys that, like you said, 29 years old, so in baseball that's, you still got a decade left.
Oh yeah, you give that guy a 10-year deal,
right? And you know, it sucks because you look at it, you're like, oh, you know, we could have this guy for another decade plus. But on the flip side, because he's got a decade, he does have pretty high trade value yet. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at a 29-year-old in football, it's like, kind of past his prime maybe. You know, obviously you have outliers, but I'd say a majority of the guys at 29 are past their prime. But in baseball, you're right in the prime. So yeah. I think a lot of the guys they dealt, it was the right time to deal them if you're not going to field a competitive team. You might as well and just, you know, almost take the Tampa Bay Rays method and just try to build a great team through prospects.
Yeah, I think it's rare that there's a team that's so mediocre performing wise as the Cubs were, but still had so many like household names.
Right.
Like what other team that's third in their division would a casual fan know like five players on?
Right. There's not many, if any.
Especially because they did, that core did put it together
right.
to win the World Series. That stings that little bit extra.
Right. And I guess that is the flip side. Like, you know, as a fan, especially when you win your first World Series in over 100 years, you know, you want those guys to be lifelong Cubs, because it's like they're the ones who brought back the championship after, you know, pretty much the longest drought in sports.
Right.
And it's like, so part of you wants to keep them in your city as, you know, kind of a thank you. But I think big picture, I don't know, when you get prospects in baseball, that can be so much more valuable than an outsider would think.
And it's kind of like we're thinking, like, we didn't think all four. Like, you're like, well, like, you'll still have Rizzo, like, it's kind of right. a relic left from that team. Like, he'll still be around. He'll still be pretty good for you. But no, I mean,
right.
just rip the Band-Aid off. And I want to make it very clear, we are not enjoying this at all. We do not. We're here for you, Cubs fans. We realize this is a very hard time for you. We do not enjoy seeing this happen. It's absolutely heartbreaking. We really do hate to see it.
Yeah, I don't know. I figured Kimbrel. I thought Kimbrel was going to be a Dodger as well. But Dodgers, when they realized Scherzer and Trey Turner were on the table, just kind of shifted focus to them.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, I mean, I figured Kimbrel and Bryant were both gone, but seeing Javi and Rizzo also gone surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, it was one of the crazier trade deadlines in recent history with so many all-stars on the move.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think that there's just not a lineup top to bottom that can compete with the Dodgers. I think post-trade deadline here, I'm not exactly sure what their futures change to win the World Series here. But yeah, I'm assuming so they're sitting at plus 325. Just,
wow.
I mean, the Astros are plus 450 and the White Sox are plus 500. That's not as overwhelming favorites as I thought. But those are all pretty bad lines for a team to win the championship.
Right.
In my opinion.
Especially when you have to like see those teams ahead of them. It's like, you gotta add, like, you first got to think of the odds that they could just beat that one team.
Right.
And it's like, well, that's not very good in a 7-game series. And then they got to, you know, deal with whoever else comes their way as well. So,
I mean, even if you look at the NL winner, the Dodgers, you're only getting them at plus 150.
Yeah, that's not great odds. Like, anything could happen.
Right. Because, I mean, you've got the Brewers, the Giants, the Mets, and the Padres that realistically, you know, they get hot or something.
Any team with such a strong 3-man rotation as the Brewers is just like, could just be a problem in the playoffs.
Right. But yeah, I mean, just overall a pretty, pretty crazy, trade deadline. Yankees went out and did some work as well. Ended up getting Joey Gallo and then obviously Anthony Rizzo as well, who we already talked about. But
yep. Got exactly what that lineup needed, more power.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the White Sox got Craig Kimbrel, which, I mean, that's good for them. I don't think anyone expected them to do as well as they are this year.
Right.
But they're just kind of doing it.
Yeah, the White Sox are kind of the same, in the same spot as the Giants are, where their team is kind of overperforming near the All-Star break and trade deadline. And you kind of have to be really honest with yourself about your team as a general manager or owner, where you go, where you might not have at the start of the season had it in the back of your mind. Well, what minor league prospects or draft picks can I move around here? Who do we have money to bring in? And if you think your team is performing to where they should be performing, and maybe they, some guys are just really getting into their stride and this is the new normal, then you should become buyers at the trade deadline when you didn't really expect to. But also you have to be able to realize when your team might be just kind of be playing out of its depth, and it would be a mistake to kind of sell off some future in order to win this year, when it might be kind of a phony year and your record might not quite show really where you actually are in your division.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my thing, I mean, just looking at like the White Sox rotation, I think like pitching, I think hitting wise, they're overperforming, but like pitching wise, they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you start looking at, you know, their starting five rotation, it's like, Dallas Keuchel, he's very underperforming compared to what he's previously done over the length of his career. And everyone else is kind of, I mean, Lance Lynn, Carlos Rodon, Dylan Cease, they're all kind of performing right where they have, you know, their entire career. So I think it was good for them to go out and get, you know, go get someone, because I don't really know if this is a fluke. We knew it. We kind of knew it last year that they had some young guys, you know, whether it be in their farm system or in, or just young guys that were already brought up that would just need a little bit of, a little bit of time. And I guess that time's just here.
Yeah. You get, it's, you can never really know if, you know, people are overperforming or not. But yeah, I guess you got to believe in your team, and you can't, it's worse to not get your team the extra help they need in a year where they could feasibly go to a World Series, rather than, you know, maybe sell off an extra prospect that you didn't have to.
Right. And I mean, you look at it, probably their biggest young star, Luis Robert, he's set to come back pretty soon.
Yeah, that's true. So
that should give an extra little boost to that offense.
Yeah. Speaking of the kind of trade deadline, the NBA trade deadline was just a couple days ago as well. And before we roll into that, I didn't get to recap the NBA draft. I'm sure everyone's seen draft get grades from a million different people, so I'll keep it brief. But just a few thoughts I had on it were, I really liked where the Raptors were at number four. I'm like, yeah, people have agreed that Cade Cunningham's one. But then after that, people were kind of saying it was a six-man draft, And then throughout the college season, it kind of kept getting whittled down. It's like, okay, Cunningham's clearly the one. And then after the season, pieces were falling into place. So, all right, Jalen Green's clearly going to. And then like a week before the draft, it's like, all right, Cavaliers are heavily going Evan Mobley. And if you're the Raptors, I really love Jalen Suggs. I think he's so polished. He's so ready to contribute, especially for a Raptors team that you have to think has a good bounce back this year. It all sets up just how it was supposed to. And they go and get Scotty Barnes, which is very interesting to me. For them to kind of go off book like that, they must really see something in him. And this is always interesting in any draft when kind of your first non-chalk pick goes. It's the immediate reaction of the next team on the board. It's like, well, they didn't think that's going to happen. Are they going to take the risk and take the guy who's now available that they didn't think was going to be, or are they going to take the guy that they've decided they're, you know, linked to for the past, you know, month? Are they going to stay safe? Be like, we planned on getting this guy. We're going to still draft him. Or do we kind of take this new opportunity when this guy's fallen to us? And the Magic takes Suggs at 5, which I think was a really good pick. Other teams I thought I had a good draft. Thunder, they had all their picks. I think they connected on all of them. They took Josh Giddey at 6, and they got Alperen Sengun, the guy out of Turkey, the 18-year-old MVP, all the way down at 16. He really fell, and they picked him up late, but then traded his rights to Houston. So, you know, they're just keep retooling their assets as if they need more. I think the Warriors did what they needed to do in this draft. They kind of, they got future potential in Jonathan Kuminga, and also got Moses Moody later on to kind of help for this year, which I like that pick. But I think the best draft has to go to the Hornets. James Bouknight kept falling all the way down to them at 11. And although they don't necessarily need a shooting guard, they took him because he was value at that point in the draft. And I really like that. I had linked them to Kai Jones, which I did admit at the time would have been a little bit of a reach for the big man at that point, but he kind of really fit what their team needed. The Knicks take him all the way at 19, and Charlotte trades for him. So they get kind of they get value at their pick and still get the guy that fits their team. So I think they really had an excellent draft. And the last thing I'll mention on the draft is Cade Cunningham is putting on a masterclass of ingratiating yourself to the city that drafted you. He was saying it that night, I'm so excited to go to Detroit, saying all the right things. The next morning, he's already there throwing the first pitch at the Tigers game. Like he's doing all the right things for the city to really love him. Yeah, that's kind of the draft coverage I wanted to go through. And then we roll right into the free agency, which people are saying this was supposed to be the big draft class, and kind of all the big names started, or the big free agency class, all the big names kind of signed before that, making it a little bit smaller. Obviously, Giannis signs the big extension. This would have been the Giannis free agency. But as the NBA goes, plenty of drama still to follow, still waiting on a Dame deal. Russ gets dealt to LA. The trade deadline and draft is always going to be full of excitement for the NBA.
Yeah, I guess the trade that not like puzzled me the most, I understand why they did it, but Russ going to the Lakers, that one, like, I guess as a fan, I would just have, that's a hard pill to swallow, knowing that now 8 guys on your roster are over 32. and you've just dealt so much of your future away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like once these guys get older, you are going to be in a massive drought where, you know, you might not even make the playoffs.
Right. And the thing of Lakers fans are so, they just love a name. Like they love this trade because they're Russell Westbrook MVP. Like it's like Russell Westbrook is now playing with a guy in LeBron James that if he comes down the court and shoots these like dumb threes that he does sometimes that just clank off the rim, he has a guy who will just yell at him on the court. And he's
right.
Never had that before. And I don't know how that goes.
Yeah.
Is Russell Westbrook going to fight LeBron James? Because he might.
Yeah, I don't know. That one, I guess, like, kind of just puzzled me the most.
This is also, like, having, like, committing to Anthony Davis, kind of playing power forward. We'll probably play center, but play it more like a power forward. As in, he'll be playing from the perimeter. Because especially with a guy like Russ, you don't want the lane clogged up with defenders.
Right.
That doesn't work with his game at all. So, yeah, they're kind of – which Anthony Davis is perfectly capable of doing, but – yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they make it work. Other notable kind of signings, Trae Young gets the max. It's not really a surprise. Everyone kind of thought he was going to do that. Nets bring back Blake Griffin, which I like as a deal for them. With any team that has that much money committed to three players, you're going to see a lot of moving pieces in the rotation. Like, guys are just going to be on one-year deals, two-year deals. So there's going to be a lot of turnover with your rotation pieces. So the Nets bring in Griffin, Patty Mills, Bruce Brown, James Johnson. Can't say it really makes them better or worse, really. Pelicans trade for Devontae Graham from the Hornets, which I like that move. Devontae Graham's very good, young, exciting shooting guard. So I kind of like bringing him in when Lonzo goes to the Bulls. Obviously, Devontae Graham's a little bit more of a scorer for Lonzo than Lonzo is, but maybe that's what they need, is another person who can reliably get their own shot rather than a distributor. And the Bulls also get DeMar DeRozan and Alex Caruso. Are they going to – they got to make the playoffs this year, right? That is such a disappointment if they don't.
Yeah, I would assume they did. I'm just, when looking at all the moves they made, like it feels like they made those moves to be a playoff team, not a championship team, if that makes sense. Like,
I think we knew that was the direction they're going in when they traded for Vucevic.
Right. But, I don't know. There's just like two tiers, I guess, when it comes to NBA. Like, you have teams making trades to be a playoff team, and then those making trades to be a championship team. And they're not even trades, I guess, free agent signings in this case. But I don't know if I like that from the Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of feels which this would be a good thing for the Bulls. It kind of feels like what the Hawks did last year to me. It's like wait, the Hawks had like a sneaky, really good like free agency. Like, they brought in Lou Will. They, you know, got Bojan when the Bucks messed up the trade. They kind of was like, oh, the Hawks added a few pieces. Obviously, they fell into the right places, which has to happen for the Bulls. But I think that's kind of a team they can look at and hope they can replicate a run like that.
Yeah.
But a team that was in a lot of attached to a lot of guys to kind of get Luka some help was the Mavericks. And so far their big signing is Reggie Bullock. So I have to see if they still have an ace up their sleeve, but yeah, I don't know who is left that they would be able to pursue, because they signed Tim Hardaway again, which that's a lot of money locked up back with him. So,
right. So I guess my next question for you is, do the Thunder give Shea that max for him to kind of be like, I guess, the vet? I know he's still young, but with all the draft picks and stuff the Thunders have in the coming years.
Yeah, they gave it to him.
They signed it. Or, no, I'm saying they gave it to him so he could be like, I guess, that core guy, you know, that. I guess I don't know if I'm saying it right.
But. I see what you're saying. I think it's impossible to know. Like, is it might just be locking him up as an asset. Like, hey, we got 5 years of Shea who's got three draft picks. Like,
right.
Who knows with them?
Because that is, I guess, the other route they could go is trading him.
So Steph becomes the first player to ever sign two deals over $200 million, which is crazy. Was it like
4 year, $215 million or something.
Yeah.
Just.
He was always fun to kind of put in talks with. Oh, what if the Steph was on, you know, here or there? But I think we all kind of knew he'd be sticking with the Warriors.
Right.
Staying in California, the Lakers have made a million moves.
Yeah.
Said to trade for Russ. Dwight came back. They bring in Carmelo. They bring in Trevor Ariza. They bring in Malik Monk, Wayne Ellington, Kent Bazemore, Kendrick Nunn, Talen Horton-Tucker comes back. They had to fill out a roster, and they're doing it.
Right.
It's not the youngest roster in the world, but.
I was looking through, like, some trades they were proposing to teams. And how do you feel if you're Kyle Kuzma? Just like,
so bad.
But, like, the Lakers pretty much saying, just give us, like, a 2038 second round pick and we're good. Like, right. Like it, some of those trades he was involved in, like those trade rumored trade offers, like they want no part of Kyle Kuzma.
It would have been so funny to me, because he's been rumored to go out. He was rumored to get traded with Lonzo, and Brendan Ingram were like the year they missed the playoffs with LeBron, where it's right. like, he's going to get them all out of here. And then, like, Kuzma was kind of the last man standing, inexplicably. Like, oh, he just, like, wasn't part of the deal. If he then went through, like, these 3 years of still being in trade talks, if I would have loved it so much if the talks with, like, the Wizards were just, like, whatever, the negotiating this side, if Kuzma just got, like, left out of the deal and he was still just kind of there. It's like, what do they got to do to get rid of this guy?
Right.
And what does Kyle Kuzma have to do to just get a place that wants him there? I think everyone kind of hopes he, you know, can do something there. It's been
I'm rooting for the guy. He has just been absolutely dumped on, you know, the last 2 years, and Lakers tried to do everything in their power to get him off their roster and finally did. So I hope he uses that as fuel to the fire, and obviously he'll never be a superstar, but
yeah. Another team that's making just a ton of moves is the Heat. They give Jimmy the max, which is interesting. What does his game look like in 5 years would be
right.
A question on my mind. But I think they're thinking more about this and next year. They bring in Kyle Lowry, which is interesting. Duncan Robinson gets a 5 year, like $90 million deal, which I feel like is a good price for him.
Yeah.
I think a lot of teams would have done that. So it feels like he wanted to stay in Miami, because he probably could have got 5 100, 5 110 elsewhere. PJ Tucker leaves the Bucks, go to the Heat. The Bucks just didn't want to pay him the 2 years, $15 million, really, which is kind of an indictment on the ownership. They could have absolutely afforded it, right, if they're willing to pay the luxury tax, but they've shown time and time again that they don't want to pay the luxury tax.
Don't even get me started on that. Brogdon.
I mean, they're very lucky that those injuries were very real with Brogdon, and it's right, not looking like, I don't know. I don't know if I'd want Brogdon on a max right now, but it's better to have him than not have him, I suppose.
Yeah.
But they do bring in, they do get Bobby Portis back. They bring in Semi Ojeleye. So, you know, you're kind of retooling your rotation there.
Yeah.
Do
you think, you know, after this championship, is there a star that's going to want to come out and be like, hey, I want to be in Milwaukee? If so, like, who do you think it would be? Either via free agency, or they go to their team and they're like, hey, like, I want to be traded to Milwaukee. Make it happen.
I just don't know. Like, it's when you see that happen, right? When it's a guy that's like trying to force his way to a place, it's typically like the guy, they're like friends.
Right.
Like, it's, you know, like, oh, you know, Karl Anthony Towns is always linked to like Ben Simmons because they were friends before, you know, they fist fought on the court. So it's like, or like, you know, like Melo goes to the Lakers, or it's like these guys, like, they're friends. Like, let's go play together. That's kind of the era of the NBA we're in. Giannis doesn't really do that friend stuff.
No.
Which I like about him. Like, he's not, you know, right, doing it. But I think it's the, like, the Lakers seemingly can just go get, like, really good players to kind of fill out their rotation. So, like, and this is maybe the most perplexing choice on a player's end that I've seen. Andre Drummond going to get, like, $2.5 million from the Sixers for a year, which we talked about a little bit. I like it for the Sixers because it's just, this is the, we're going to play Joel Embiid like 25 minutes a game. We're going to play him like just enough to win, and then Drummond's playing the rest. But like, I don't really think that, like, there's like two teams in the league you could go to where you're like 100% definitely not, three teams where you're definitely not the starting center. And this is one of them. Like, why, like, just take a backup role so willingly when if we could go Thunder and Lightning, Brooke Lopez, Andre Drummond? Like, yeah, he clogs up the lane, but, like, if when Giannis is out, you put – because I don't think you want him in at the same time. If you just – $2.5 million, like, that's such an easy deal. Like, you just – like, Andre Drummond, that's just, like – if he's that cheap, that's a name I would love to have on the roster. You just figure it out.
Right.
He's still like the best rebounder in the league.
Yeah.
So that one's, you know, kind of confusing to me. I get it to the Sixers. Chris Paul opts out of the crazy, which this, when he was in trade talks, like, you know, on the Thunder, it was like, this was the most automatic opt-in of all time. Like, Chris Paul opting into $41 million because his contract, you know, is untradeable. And, like, who would pay Chris Paul this much right now? And what does he do? He opts out and gets another four-year deal to play until he's 40. Just collecting bags, Chris Paul.
Knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Obviously, there would had to be a deal in place before he turned it down. Right. But yeah. There are not a whole lot of other notable things. Spencer Dinwiddie goes to the Wizards. Mike Conley goes back to the Jazz. Our boy Sam Decker is back in the league with the Raptors. Remiss if I didn't mention that. But, yeah, that's kind of our free agency. Kawhi yet to make a decision. This should surprise nobody from 2 years ago when he was waiting and waiting and waiting to make a decision on where to go when it was – when NBA free agency happens, you know, there's 30 deals ready to be announced at the start of negotiations because, you know, tampering's definitely not going on, but everything happens like day one. And it's just it's like the craziest day in like a sport with like guys moving around, like more than any like trade deadline or anything, like NBA free agency, like the hour it opens up, like half the nation turns tweet reports on for Woj. And right. It's just like crazy things going. And Kawhi just kind of likes waiting, seeing what's going to happen. I think a lot of people expect him to return to the Clippers, though. I don't know what other teams are really pursuing him. I know Miami was, but now I don't know what their cap situation is looking like.
Yeah.
I'm sure if he wanted to, they'd make it work. But, yeah, that's kind of where we're at. Right now, I think the Lakers probably – do you think the Russ trade will make them the favorites over the Nets, or do you think it'll still be the Nets?
I think it'll still be the Nets. I don't really think it makes the Lakers that much better, personally.
Yeah, I don't either, but people are really kind of liking it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Nets will probably still be the favorites if I had to take a guess, but obviously they'll be 1 and 2, but
Yeah, I think whoever that third odds is on is probably going to be pretty distant.
Right. Yeah. I just don't think Russ going, like, you put Russ on that team last year, I don't think they make it to the finals, you know?
Yeah, and it's hard to say, but we'll have to see how they met. Like, if they can rein him in and he just, like, stops shooting threes and he's just, you know, distributing, playing tough defense, like, he has the skills. He's so athletic to be the kind of – he can kind of fit what you need as long as what you need isn't a shooter. But we'll see if he does it. Okay, kind of – roll into the third sport here. We got NFL training camp going on. The big one is all this confusion going on with Carson Wentz. Hearing it's like a high school foot injury that he's now deciding to have surgery on now. And the team saying they're behind him. They knew about it. They're supporting him in getting it. Then they give out 5 to 12 weeks as the timeline. And whenever something has so much kind of mystery around it and is so unsure, kind of a bad sign, I think. Like, what's really going on here? Especially with a guy with injury history like Wentz does. And yeah, they do not have, like, a suitable backup.
Jacob Eason.
Well... What do you think they should do? Like, who do you think they should trot out week one as a starter, whether he's on the roster or if he's retired or if he's playing for another team?
I mean, it's tough because what are they paying Wentz right now?
A lot. He's still on the deal he signed with the Eagles.
Right. So that's the thing. I don't think they can go out and get another top-tier quarterback.
Yeah. Rivers said his phone's on to bring him back for.
And honestly, I wouldn't hate that. Because my first reaction was going to be Deshaun Watson. Because here's the thing. There are teams sending offers Houston's way. right?
They also said they want like five firsts.
Right.
And I don't think any team's dumb enough to do that without some sort of guarantee that he's going to take snaps this year.
Right. But my thing is, like, I don't think teams would be sending legit offers if they weren't doing their own investigations.
Probably not.
You know, so that's just the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. Is I have a feeling if teams are sending legit offers, I think there's probably like an 80-90% chance that Watson plays.
Yeah, I mean, he was practicing and stuff, so.
I mean, right now he's playing safety on the scout team, yeah. But I think if we're looking, if Rivers is like, yeah, I'll come back on like a $5 million deal, $10 million deal, I think you do it.
I'm sure he accepts it. He's got mouths to feed.
Right.
A name that I kind of like is, and I don't know what it would take to get him, is Mariota, which I think would be a threat to have Carson Wentz just not come back. I think Mariota's still got some stuff left. And I think
he does too.
I think you can bring him in if he plays, let's say, like 4 weeks. I think you could be like, well, he might be 3-1, and be like, well, we can't go away from him now. Like,
yeah,
take all the time you need, Carson.
Yeah, I do like that, but I agree with you because part of me feels like it would kind of take not a ton, like we're not talking like multiple firsts or anything, but I feel like the price is fairly high because if you remember last year when Carr went down with whatever injury he had.
Yeah.
I mean, Mariota, he kind of balled out when he was out there.
He was really good. Yeah.
He protected the football, which from a backup, that's
all you need.
That's really all you can ask for.
And you can tell when these guys, you saw it with Cam last year, when these guys, all of a sudden a job is on the line, they're willing to like risk their bodies. Like, yeah, right. Let me like run. Let me not slide. Let me try to break a tackle here and get that first. Like they play like all out. And maybe that's not what you want if that's your guy long term. But if you're hoping he's going to play 5-6 weeks for you, that's exactly what you want.
Yeah.
And then worst case scenario there is he earns the job and. Worst case, he gets hurt playing like that, but yeah. Kind of keeping with the quarterback talk, we decided we're going to do our top 10 quarterbacks today. And that is top 10, who do I want quarterbacking my team for this 2021 season? This isn't legacy, this isn't potential, this is 2021, who do I want behind center? And I'll start with my number one. I'm going Mahomes. Pretty self-explanatory. Been to the Super Bowl the last 2 years. He's really good.
Mahomes is also my number one.
As I figured, this will be interesting. As a guy who's caused me a lot of pain, but I got to do it. He just won it. Tom Brady's my two. For this year, I think he's absolutely somebody you'd want.
Yeah. Tom Brady was a tough one for me, choice-wise. I did not slot him at two as much as I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Because every year I say it, and every year he proves me wrong. But I just say, like, he's got to stop eventually. You know, he can't,
right.
Can't play at an elite level forever. And I think last year, I mean, the first, 7 weeks, I think, you really saw, like, his age and taking effect. And then all of a sudden,
right,
turned it on.
He's just gonna turn it on at the right time, like,
right.
He might not throw for 300 yards for a single game in the regular season, but
right,
he's gonna be there for the playoffs.
At my two, I gave Rodgers the nod. I mean, coming off an MVP season, I mean, still one of the most, you know, skilled QBs in the league. And
I was interested where you would put him. He fell at my three. I put him right behind Brady. And we've talked about it. He has to be good this year. So bad. You look like such a jerk if you do all this diva crap and then come in and you're just like, okay. Like when game one, he's like, 210 yards, two touchdowns, a pick. It's like, this is what all this was about. Like,
and that's kind of why I do think he'll ball out. I mean, I think part of the reason he played so well last year was kind of the chip on his shoulder from the J Love trading up and drafting him. Yeah. He kept saying it wasn't a big deal and he loves the kid, but you know, everyone, he wasn't happy about
it. What quarterbacks ever had a young quarterback on the roster and they're like sitting at the press conference and they're like, I can't believe they took the kid. I hate this punk kid. Get him off the roster. I'm going to take him under my wing. I'm going to, you know.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of potential. He's a hardworking kid.
But yeah, so then I slot Brady in the three is what I did. So we just had those two flip-flopped. I just, at some point, Brady's got to fall off, right? Or is he just going to play till he's 50?
Maybe. So yeah, four, I think, is really where your list starts. Obviously, we have a little discrepancy, but your top three is going to be those guys in some order.
Right.
Four, I go Josh Allen. Just was in the MVP conversation for a while last year. It's inexplicable how he increased his completion percentage so much from year to year. I'd be a fool to say he is what he is, and he's not going to get any better because he got so much better last year. I just think he's got a good team around him. I think he's a guy I would want fourth most under center for me going into 2021.
So it looks like we got a little collusion going on because I also had Josh Allen at number four. I mean, just kind of like what you said about last year, he just took such a big step. And I mean, this is a guy who's only been in the league for this will be his fourth year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's just young, so much room for growth, you know, this year and into the future yet. I think he was pretty easy number four for me.
Five, I went with Matt Stafford and the new team out in LA. Which, you know, we'll see. Once he gets the team around him, everyone believes in him. And when we were going over our team totals, I flirted with the idea of kind of fading the Rams because everyone believes in them so much. But at the end of the day, I do think that he's very talented. And once he gets those skill positions around him and that great defense, that he's really going to be, I think he's a good pick for this list because it's, blank slate, like which guy am I taking for a team? And we've seen what he can do with nothing around him. Like Josh Allen, you could kind of pick apart and say, it's like, well, Stephon Diggs, who was the number one wide receiver last year, like, he has a really good team around him. Like, is he a product of his situation? I don't think so, but someone could make that argument. You couldn't make the argument that Matt Stafford was the product of his situation at all.
Yeah. I mean, he's really had one wide receiver his entire time in Detroit that was even good.
One of the best ever, but
right. But even when Megatron left, he still just balled out.
I will not stand for Golden Tate slander on this podcast.
So we're at five here. So my number five is kind of on the same basis that my number four was on. You know, for Josh Allen, I put him at four because of how much he grew from 2 years ago to last year, and how I just think the potential for growth is so high. And at five, I'm going with Kyler Murray. I mean, the dude is athletic as can be. I mean, he can run, he can throw, and you start looking at how much better he did in, you know, year two versus year one. And, you know, his QBR was 16 points higher. And I mean, rushed for over 800 yards. And I mean, he just took a big step last year. And I kind of expect him, especially with, you know, the team around him. I mean, D-Hop, AJ Green, I've been hearing he's looking young in practice. we'll see how that is, but I do think he's got a good team around him that I'm slotting him at number five.
For my number six, I am down on his team, but the fact of the matter is he was a front runner for the MVP through the first 8 weeks of last year. Wheels came off a bit, but I can't put Russell Wilson any lower than six. It's kind of it's the furthest down I could possibly put him. I don't think the Seahawks are going to be good this year, but I had to kind of remove that. If I was starting my own team, I would still absolutely want Russell Wilson for this year.
Yeah, I slot him at six as well.
Very little discrepancy so far, but and we're gonna keep it up. Where seven is where I'm slotting Kyler, so I'm fairly high on him as well. Having him all the way up at seven, right behind Russ. I think what Russ was last year is kind of what you would hope Kyler would be, kind of given
right
taking off those last couple games that the Seahawks had.
So at seven is where it kind of started getting tough for me, because I mean, pre-injury I wanted to put Dak there, but I mean, just something that big, I just don't know if, you know, if I'm starting a team from scratch, I don't know if I want a guy coming off that gruesome, that big of an injury. So I'm going with another younger guy who has taken some big steps since he entered the league, and being Baker Mayfield.
Interesting.
I think he's grown. I kind of like the little swagger he carries himself with. And I mean, last year he could back it up, and yeah, I'm going with Baker at seven.
I think he stinks. I've never been a Baker guy. I'm completely unbiased. Take care. No, I think you put him on a roster like the Texans, I think he is pedestrian at best. I just don't think he's that good. This is a hill
I think most quarterbacks on that roster would be pedestrian at best.
But I think if you look at our, like, let's say top five guys, almost as long as it's like an NFL roster with like legitimate NFL players, they're winning like six games minimum. Which,
all right, but I think Baker wins six games on that Texans.
I disagree, but that's, you know, just how I feel. Where are we at here? I just did my seven. My eight is, I did put him up here. I have Dak at eight.
Okay.
Again, I can't discount the injury. It stinks, but he's still young. And I can't discount a guy that was legitimately in an MVP conversation 10 months ago.
Right. And that's fair. I guess I just value the injury a little more, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if this is a top 15, he's making my list at, you know, 11 or 12, but the injury to me is just too much. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll see guys come off an injury like that and be better, and other times they're never the same. So, yeah, I kind of just want to wait and see on him. So at my eight, I'm running Stafford for similar reasons as yours. You know, we've seen him do a lot with nothing, but we also haven't, although he's done a lot, it's not like he wins a lot, you know. Right. It's not like he's bringing that Lions team to even, you know, 7-8 wins. I mean, we're talking, he had an 0-16 season. And granted, I think he was hurt for part of that 0-16 season, but
I think they kind of sat him down because he's tough as nails. No one plays through injuries like Matt Stafford does, but
right,
they're kind of trying to go 0-16 there. So,
yeah. But I mean, like, yeah, he can put up all the stats in the world. I just don't know how much of a winner he is, which I mean, I understand a lot of that comes because of how bad the Lions were. But at the same time, I think if he was that guy, he could have got, you know, one or two more wins every year than what he did.
It's fair. Yeah, number nine, I got to go. He slipped far enough. It's got to be Mason Rudolph. He's poised to take over. And no, I'm going to Lamar Jackson at nine. I slandered him plenty on our AFC preview, but fact is, his MVP 2 years ago, I do think defenses have started to figure and will continue to figure him out, but he's still underrated as people focus so much on his running. He's underrated as a pocket passer. He does struggle with some of the intermediate throws. So you see a 10-yard out where he misses the guy, but he still has one of the best deep balls in the game. He can throw it on a dime. And they have the receivers for him to do it. I've got to take all that out of it because he is playing on a team where it is almost perfectly constructed around what he does. But just a guy with that kind of arm talent and those legs, I think starting from scratch, it's someone you definitely would want on your team, or at least I would want on my team.
Yeah. I don't know. My 10 is actually still up for debate because I know I should put him there, but it'd be hard for me to justify Lamar. I just don't see it. But so my 9 is actually going to be Derek Carr.
Okay.
I guess for me, there's a big gap between him and like the top three.
Yes.
But for me you look last year, it was just the consistency. I mean, he just kind of went out there and did the same thing every week. You know, it'd be like between 275 and 300 yards every game. And, you know, he'd throw two or three touchdowns and maybe a pick. It's like, but I mean, he improved heavily on deep balls compared to where he had been in the past. And I mean, it's not like the Raiders, it's not like the receiving core was ungodly good.
Right.
I mean, they've got some talent. I mean, you got Ruggs there. I mean, nice young talent. But you had the streaky Nelson Aguilar.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, like, their receiving core, it's not like, you know, they've got a big three or anything. Yeah, I mean, Derek Carr, he was consistent last year, and I expect the same this year.
My number 10 rounding out my list, it is going to be a glaring pick with some of the people. No matter who you pick at 10, it's going to be like, wait, so this guy isn't on your list? But as we've seen it with Mahomes, seen it with Lamar, seen it with Josh Allen, these quarterbacks are developing faster than ever. They're just guys that contribute year one, and by year two, they're ready to compete for MVPs and compete for Super Bowls. So my number 10 quarterback that I would want behind center this year is Justin Herbert. He was so good last year, and I just think he develops. He has all the tools, home run pick by the Chargers. I kind of knew I wanted to do this with my last pick. I flirted with Burrow, but with the injury, I just don't think we've seen enough. I think Herbert is just set to build on what was already a historic rookie season.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, so I was kind of floating between him, Dak, and Lamar. I can't decide because there's things I like and there's things I hate about all three. But I guess at my 10, I'll roll with Dak. I mean, like you said, he was in the MVP conversation 10 months ago, and you'd like to think that, I mean, I've seen some stuff in training camp from training camp, you know, and I'm going to run with a guy who was in the MVP conversation over a guy who was an MVP.
Yeah, so those are kind of your first two guys out there.
Yeah, I mean, I probably put Herbert at 11 and Lamar at 12.
Yeah, I think this is a guy that I kind of carry the flag for a lot. And I really wish I could have made spot for him in my top 10 because I think he's criminally underrated. But he's going to be my first one out. How can people keep saying that Ryan Tannehill is just like empty stats? Yeah. Like people can keep saying like, oh, he's not above average quarterback. He's like just right there. I'm going to throw up in my mouth the next time I hear a Ryan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins comparison. Ryan Tannehill, you have to forget about his time in Miami. That was a long time ago now. He's just keeps putting up numbers in Tennessee. And right. You could say like, oh, there's like, he has Derrick Henry. It's the threat of the run game. It's like so many other quarterbacks have these things that they can rely on. Like a great defense, a great running back, a great offensive line. And no one do I hear those pieces being used as an excuse to why the quarterback isn't good than Ryan Tannehill. I think he's the real deal. He's not, obviously. He's not a top 10 quarterback. He's not on my list. I don't think you'd be crazy for having the conversation. Like, how many years in a row does he have to put up top 10 numbers to get the respect of being in the top 15? Just a guy didn't make my list, but I gotta give
him a soft spot.
Yeah. It's just hard for people to forget those Dolphins years because they weren't good.
But that team,
was so bad.
And, I mean, to be honest, I think the numbers you see Tannehill put up will be even better this year. I mean, imagine being a defense and having to worry about the human wrecking ball, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and now Julio Jones.
Their defense does have gaps. It's going to be a little worse than it was last year, but you know, that offense might be in shootouts, which they weren't really last year.
Right.
Although I do kind of believe that, I don't think 30 wins is going to be that horrendously bad, but yeah, no, I generally believe in Ryan Tannehill. But yeah, so that's our top 10, our kind of training camp recap. If you're looking for, we're recording early on Wednesday, so the lines for Thursday are nowhere near out yet. But if you're listening to this on Thursday, when it comes out, go to our Twitter at WeeklyWinnersWI. All our picks for the day will be there. Cody just had a great day on Tuesday, got himself back positive units-wise. I actually went positive, I apologize, because I believe the hashtag fade jersey picks movement is still on. So I apologize for making money yesterday, but still down almost four units since All-Star break. So still a traditionally good way to make money is fading my picks. So keep an eye out for those. Also shoot us a line. We still need a few more people for a fantasy football league that we're trying to put together for the podcast. So DM us on Twitter or any of the socials if you're interested in that. Hopefully your picks are winners as the drought of baseball to bet on comes to a close, or if you're betting on the Olympics, I haven't really been able to get on it. But thank you for listening, and we'll see you guys on Monday.